Welcome to the sermons and teachings from the Catalyst Fellowship with Ipaye Michael. We hope the message you're about to listen to will edify you and cause you to experience exponential growth. And now, the message.
Matthew 28:18, are you all there? All there? All right, let's read together Matthew 28:18. 1, 2, go. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So who is speaking here? Jesus. He's speaking just before his ascension. And he was instructing them to go into the world and do what? Make disciples of all nations. So this is what is happening. Jesus has made disciples of them. Now he's saying, do the same to others. And you see what I'm saying? You know, I've taught you this many times that this is how Jesus is giving them a structure. Remember, the church of Christ was started by who? Christ, right? So Jesus is going and he wants to define how the church should be. And he says, go and make disciples. Did he say go and make church members? He said, go and what? Make disciples. He says, teach all nations. The word used teach all nations there is matetuo. And it means to make disciples. And you see what I'm saying? It means to make disciples. What does it mean to make someone a disciple? It means to make him a learner. To make him a follower. He's saying, moving forward, I don't just want a community of people gathering in a location. I want a community of disciples. And you see what I'm saying? There's a difference between church members and disciples. I want a community of disciples, followers. Followers, not just people gathering. Followers, disciples. Meaning, what I made of you, make of them. Every member of a local assembly must be like the apostles in the way they follow Jesus. Does that seem extreme? They were willing to go, so maybe you don't think so. They followed Jesus everywhere. That's what it means to follow. They were willing to make sacrifices for the sake of the gospel. In Mark's account, it says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So what is he telling them to do? Train students. Make disciples. Who are those disciples? The Greek word is what? Mathetes. And it means a student, a disciple, or a follower. So who is a Mathetes? How do you become one? Are you getting it right today? Are you truly a student or disciple? What are you missing? How long should you be disciple for? Let's look at the scriptures. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. Remember, we always start from the Old Testament when we're trying to draw concepts out of scriptures, right? Because the Old Testament is the New Testament what? Concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament what? Old Testament is the New Testament what? New Testament to New Testament, what? The origins. The revelation we see in the New Testament has its origin where? And the things we see in the Old Testament find their revelation where? So how should the Bible be read? Together. How should the Bible be read? Together. The old in the light of? New in the light of? Does that make sense? Great. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Well, you know why we're reading Genesis chapter 1 verse 26? Because when you look at the genre of Genesis, you look at why Genesis was written. Remember Bible interpretation, right? How you do exegesis. Exegesis is done by trying to determine the intent of the author, right? As he's writing, you're trying to discover using the context, the geography, and everything you have available to you. So Genesis 1 and verse 26, the Bible says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So, God created mankind at Genesis and gave him what? Dominion. What did he give him? He gave him jurisdiction over the earth. He gave him dominion. And one of the expressions of that dominion is what God did next. God took him and brought animals before him and told man at the time, he said, name all of them. Whatever name you give them, it will stick. What is God doing? God is showing a pattern of discipleship. What do I mean? There are patterns of discipleship littered all through the book of Genesis. And this was the first of such. God had given man dominion. Did he need to teach him any more things? Well, no. But now you are seeing a pattern of teaching where God brings the animals and says, Adam, name this one. Name it, name it, name it. What is it? Listen, naming is a big deal in their time. In the ancient Eastern culture, only kings used to name. Because whatever you name a thing is what it will be forever. By naming something, you determine its function. Are you seeing what I'm saying? That was what naming was for in those days. It was reserved for top people. Actually, it was a God kind of role, not a normal kind of role. Because you are determining the destiny and the purpose of that thing when you name it. So when God told Adam to name, he was helping him express that God-given dominion. Are you seeing what I'm saying? And that's the first pattern of discipleship you're learning in scriptures. That's the first place we actually see somebody teach another person to grow into something. Are you seeing what I'm saying? That's the first place. God helps him exercise dominion by leading him to what he wants him to do. By guiding him, to help him see. So there's already some form of encouragement and discipleship. He's helping him exercise dominion he has given him. Are you seeing what I'm saying? And that's what is going on. Why am I doing this? Why am I showing you this in Genesis? Because when we're looking at Genesis, the genre plays an important role. Why was Genesis written? Moses played an important role in the oral transmission of the stories of creation. How does the stories of creation affect you today? Well, it helps you see the relation between God and man. Amen. That's what Genesis documents. And who was the hero of the story? Listen, when you are reading the Torah, when you look at the books that we ascribe to Moses, because Moses encouraged the oral transmission of it, the hero is always God. Are you seeing what I'm saying? So when Moses was writing Genesis, your mind should not be on Joseph as the hero or Adam as the hero. No. God was the hero of the story. Please, are you getting what I'm saying? What is Adam is showing God's pattern of discipleship. God then said, you can eat of everything, but don't eat of this. That's an instruction. Do you see what I'm saying? That's an instruction. That's an instruction. God is saying, I have a standard. I've taught you this before. That's an instruction. Is everybody following me? So this story is setting the pace for the relationship between God and man. That's why I'm using Genesis. Amen. Why am I using Genesis? Because the book of Genesis sets the pace for what? How? In the way God related to Adam, we see the beginning of the relationship between God and man. Does that make sense? I just want to be sure you are following me. Okay, so as we begin to see it, we see that discipleship pattern. But it did not stop at Adam. God did not stop at Adam to give man instruction. God still continued to talk to Adam all through. He still continued to talk to mankind all through. Even after Adam, he instructed Cain and Abel. He told them, this is my acceptable offering. Are you seeing? He was discipling. He was, you know, maybe using the word discipling is what is confusing you. He was teaching. He was helping man know his requirements. Now, okay, now you've fallen. How are you going to get restored? He started showing them. Use blood, not crop. That's what I will accept. He was teaching. Are you seeing what I'm saying? He was teaching. Not only was he teaching them that, when you go to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 1, I want us to read Deuteronomy 1, 4 together. This would bless you. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1. Deuteronomy 4, verse 1. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's how you find it. Are you there? Deuteronomy 4 and verse 1. If you're there, say, I'm there. All right, let's read together. Are you ready? All right, 1, 2, go. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and judgment which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and Are you seeing what I'm saying? What is going on here? Are you seeing what is going on in this text? He's going to teach them about the laws of God. Listen, Genesis told us the origin of man and the fall of man. Exodus tells us how they left Egypt. Are you seeing what I'm saying? But they had the laws of God in the wilderness. Are you getting it? And the laws of God that they had in the wilderness, they fell from it. Remember, God gave them the tablet of stones that contained his law. By the time Moses came down, what were they doing? They were worshiping idols. Do you see what I'm saying? They rebelled against it. It was so bad that God promised that whole generation that none of them will see the promised land. It was that bad. Only their children. So now in Deuteronomy, these are their children. And now they have to rehash the law to them again, to their hearing. Now, this is another thing we're learning about God's discipleship. Because even though man fell in the first place, God begins to teach them his laws, his standard. These are my ways. In Numbers, in Leviticus, he told them, these are the things I want. I want you to be clean. I want you to worship only me. Are you getting what I'm teaching you? I want you to worship only me. He's teaching them. Now again, he's repeating it. He says, now, O Israel, and someone is telling them about the laws. He says, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe. Statutes are enactments, God's laws, so that you can go in and possess the land which the Lord, the God of your father, is giving you. Verse 2, everybody want to go? You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command. Do you see that? It's a repetition of the commandment. Verse 3, your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal-peor, for the Lord God, your God, has destroyed from among you all the men who followed Baal of Peor. Verse 4. But you who held fast are alive today, every one of you. Surely I have taught you statutes and judgment, just as Lord my God commanded, that you should what? Are you seeing what I'm saying? Does this make sense? So, some people did not follow this instruction that he gave them, and they died. But God again sent his servant to rehash the law to their hearing. This is replete all through scriptures. God reminding them of his laws. So, they are learning to be obedient to the statutes and the judgments of God, the enactments and the verdicts of God. Read verse 6, everybody, want to go. Therefore, be careful to observe them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the people who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Verse 7. For what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us, for whatever reason we may call upon him? Verse 8. What great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law, which I set before you this day? He's giving them the law again. Do you see what I'm saying? Verse 9, what does he say? Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and do what? Are you seeing what he's saying? God has told you his laws. Don't forget them. Teach them to your children. Are you seeing how God is discipling these people to know his ways? By repetition. Even though they kept on rebelling. By repetition. Verse 10. What does he say? Especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words. Where did they gather? This happened in Exodus. It happened in Exodus. Verse 11. What does he say? Then you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire to the midst of heaven. Do you remember this story? They were before Horeb and they could not come close because there was fire on the mountain. That was the first revelation, not the first, but that was one of the revelations of God they saw. They were so scared that they should not come. Are you seeing what I'm saying? That's why the writer of Hebrews says you have not come before the mountain that burns, but you have come before Mount Zion. There was a comparison. That mountain, they should not, if they went close, they would have died. God was using that fire that they saw, the lightning, the great things that they saw, rather, to teach them his standard, that I'm holy. This is who I am. So follow my command. Verse 13, verse 12, what does it say? And the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of the words, but saw no form. You only heard voice. Verse 13. So he declared to you his covenant. The ten. So this was when they got the Ten Commandments. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Only Moses went into that fire, that mountain. If any of them had followed, they would have died. Then Moses collected the tablets of stone and brought it to them. What are they doing in Deuteronomy? They are reminding them of God's laws and statutes. Are you following me? They are reminding them of what? Let me show you where it happened. Exodus chapter 19, verse 8. I know why I'm doing all of this, so pay attention. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 8. Are you all there? Exodus 19, 8. Are you there? Let's read together. I want to go. Then all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord and said to the Lord, behold, I come to you in the thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever. So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. So this was that time that Deuteronomy was quoting. Are you getting what I'm saying? He was referencing that time. That don't forget that that is your God, and do his command, which I bring before you again, that you should teach your children and teach your children's children. Are you all following me? 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 14. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 14. Are you all there? 1 Samuel 12, 14. 1 Samuel 12, 14. Are you all there? All right, read with me. One, two, go. If you fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and do not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, both you and king and the king who reigns over you will continue to follow, will continue following the Lord your God. So you're seeing that there was a rehash of this law. There is a law of God. Even the law of God was not canceled today. Are you seeing what I'm saying? There is a law of God. The centerpiece of the Old Testament was a continuous attempt to disciple the people in the way of God, but they kept on rebelling against it. I taught you this in Justified, right? Why were they rebelling against it? Because there was a mechanism in them causing them to sin. They were dead. They carried the nature of the old man. Are you seeing what I'm saying? So the law was not going to save them. Rather, it revealed their inabilities. God's standard showed how impossible it was for them to meet up to it. They were far from it. They could not do anything. So it didn't stop God from trying to point them to the right direction. Are you seeing what I'm saying? There is that concept of discipleship, following the Lord. Samuel used that word, following the Lord. Following the Lord. I want to show you something I found in scriptures. And it's going to be interesting, exciting. Genesis chapter 5 verse 22. Genesis chapter 5 verse 22. And this is exciting. Just pay attention right here now. Are you all in Genesis 5:22? All right. Read together with me. One, two, go. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch... Oh, so you're saying that word again, walked with God. Enoch did what? Walked with God 300 years and had sons and... So the Bible is talking about a person who walked with God. And this is a language commonly used in the Old Testament. But what he's saying by someone who walked with God is someone who walked in the ways of God. Someone who lived after the commandments of God. Someone who tried his best to follow the ways, the leadings of God. Someone who at least hearkened to that attempt at discipleship. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what it is. It says Enoch walked with God. So when people followed God, they were said to be walking in the way of the Lord. It was a metaphor that was used all through scripture to talk about a person who is following God. Follow. You see, that's another word. Follow. So to walk with, to walk after, to walk in the way of God. It means to follow God's leadings. It means to follow God's commands, God's statutes, God's judgments. The word there in the Hebrew is halak. H-A-L-A-K. And it means to follow. The word walk there, when it says Enoch walked with the Lord, the Hebrew word is halak. H-A-L-A-K. And it means to follow. So what does it mean if you read it? Enoch followed God. Are you seeing this? Enoch did what? So walking with God is a metaphor to suggest that a person is living his life in accordance to God's teachings, God's ordinances, God's verdicts. So it means Enoch lived 365 years, and each day in that year he walked after God's step. No matter what he did, no matter what he was committed to in this life, he followed God. Are you seeing what I'm saying? He followed God. Almost akin to walking in the footpath of someone leading you. Are you seeing this? That's what it means to follow. That's why they use the metaphor walk. Enoch walked with God. The only way to walk with God is to walk in step. To follow what God is leading you to do. So when they says, when the Bible says walk in the way of the Lord, when he was telling them to walk according to the law, according to the statutes of God, he was telling them to follow the place that God is leading them to. God had been leading them. But why were they not going? Well, their hearts were not changed yet. They were still the old man. So it's almost like you are following a footprint that God has set for your life. Are you getting what I'm saying? You are following a footprint of someone ahead of you. Deuteronomy chapter 10 verse 12, the Bible says, "And now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways." Hey, that word again. To do what? To walk in his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, and keep his commandments. So the Hebrew word here now is yalak. Y-A-L-A-K. We've seen two words here. Number one is what? Halak. Number two is what? Yalak. Number one is what? Number two is what? Well, the origin of yalak is halak. There are two words that almost mean the same thing. So let's break it down. Number one, let's start with yalak. Y-A-L-A-K. What is yalak? Yalak is used many times to refer to grow. Hey, so pay attention. The words we took yalak and halak from are what? Walk. But how do we do a Bible study usually? When we do a word study, we take the word, we check its usages in other places. And yalak, which is the first one we are looking at, which is Y-A-L-A-K, is usually used to refer to grow. In 2 Samuel chapter 5 verse 10, everybody open it, 2 Samuel 5, 10, get your pen because we're going to do a quick Bible study here. 2 Timothy chapter 5 verse 10, are you all there? 2 Samuel rather, chapter 5 verse 10, sorry. 2 Samuel 5, 10, are you all there? Are you learning something? So you know what, from today, Wednesdays, just get ready for Bible study. Not too much, we'll just go straight in the word. Sorry, Thursdays. So, you know, it's a continuation of Sunday teachings, but I'm not going to do welcome, good afternoon, good morning. We just come. We teach. Amen. All right. So, 2 Samuel 5:10. Are you all there? All right. Let's read together. 1, 2, go. So, David went on and became great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. I'm going to read it in KJV, King James Version. It says, "And David went on and grew great, and the Lord God was with him." So, the word yalak there is a word that is used to signify a picture of a child growing, coming to maturity, coming to confidence. And you see what I'm saying? So, the word David went on. So, went on there is one word in the Hebrew. And can you guess what that word is? Yalak. Are you seeing this? Yalak. No, it's went on. You see what I'm saying? Went on there is yalak. The second word is halak, right? That we saw. That also meant to walk, to follow. Now, halak is from another word, halaka. Pay attention. And halaka means righteous walk. It means to progress. Are you seeing what I'm saying? In that same 2 Samuel 5:10, the word grew in KJV is halak. So yalak, halak. Went on, grew, great. So David went on, grew, great. David yalak halak, Then great, it does not matter to our study, but it's gadol. So David yalakala gadol. But pay attention here. What I'm trying to show you now is that halak is used for spiritual maturity. Halak is also used for spiritual maturity. Are you seeing what I'm saying? For spiritual maturity as well. So, to walk in God is to grow. To follow God is to grow. Halak is used many times for that same growth. Growth in righteousness. Growth that entails, you know, a lot of study, a lot of things that come together. That's halak. Yalak as well is the same. So when they say, and David went on grew great. David yalak halak gadol. So he advanced. Are you seeing what I'm saying? He improved. It talks about an improvement, an advancement. So to walk with the Lord means to grow. Please, are you following me? To advance. The people who walked with God grew in God. They grew in God. They grew. They grew in their knowledge of God. Micah chapter 6 verse 8, the Bible says, he has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to show mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That is, to grow in humility with your God. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what it means. So when you say follow, follow. To follow God is to grow in God. Are you getting what I'm teaching you? To follow God is to what? Is to grow in God. And this has always been what God wants for man. To walk in his ways. To follow him. To grow in him. But sin made that impossible when man rebelled against God's righteous standard. Are you following me? Are you learning something? But let's look at when God prophesied about the salvation of man. And you will see that the solution to the rebellion was the Holy Ghost, but it did not stop the followership of man to God. God still wants man to follow him, to walk in his step. Are you seeing what I'm saying? It was impossible with all the Israelites because of sin. But now in Ezekiel 36:26, you know that text? Can we read it together? Or let me just read it because of time. I will give you a new heart. This is a text about salvation. Are you seeing what I'm saying? I'll give you a new heart. I'll put a new spirit within you. I'll take away the heart of stone from your flesh. I'll give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my... Do you see that? So even though God said he will save them, he said, I will now cause you to follow. Are you seeing what I'm saying? To follow. And what does following mean? To grow. Now, this is Greek, so it won't be the same word because we're in the New Testament. The Old Testament was written in what? Hebrew and Aramaic. The New Testament was written in what? Greek. Even though what I'm just showing... Oh, wait, sorry. We're not in the New Testament, actually. We're in Ezekiel, my bad. So it's actually Hebrew. So yes, you can check the word. I didn't check it before today, but what's the word? Do you have your lexicon here, anybody? I taught you how to use lexicon, right? Okay, Ezekiel 36:26. I'll check it by myself. Just to be sure. Even though I didn't plan to do so. Thank you. So say thank you, Jesus. Are you learning something? Are you sure? Alright. Ezekiel 36 and verse 26. The word to walk there is yalak. Are you seeing it? Yalak. Does that make sense? So even though mankind will be saved, what that salvation will cause for us is that it will make us easily follow. And what does it mean to follow? Grow. What does yalak mean? Grow. Are you getting it, everybody? Jeremiah 31, verse 31. Everybody, quickly. Jeremiah 31, 31. Don't worry. Those are the two easiest texts to remember. Ezekiel 36, 26. Jeremiah 31, 31. They talk about the same thing. 36, 26. 31, 31. So, Jeremiah 31, 31. Are you there? Jeremiah 31 and verse 31. What does he say? He says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day when I took them in my hand, and led them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant they broke, though I was a husband to them. So what is he saying? I've made a covenant with these people before, but they broke it. Verse 33, he says, but this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will do what? Let's read together. I want to go. I will what? I will put my laws in their mind and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be what? my people, no more shall any man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they will know me from the least of them to the greatest of them. So what is he saying? That their hearts will be changed. But what we are also seeing is that they will still yalak in the statutes of God. They will still follow God. But it will be easier now. Who is he talking about? You. He's talking about us. That God will save us. The mechanism of sin will be destroyed. A new mechanism will be put in us. Now we can yalak. Are you getting it? Now we can do what God has been trying to do. Make us follow him. Disciple us. Are you getting it? Make us follow him. Make us walk after his statutes. So it makes sense that in the Great Commission, Jesus is not just asking for members. He's asking for disciples, followers. He's asking for people to yalak and halak. And you see what I'm saying? Jesus is saying that when you go to these people, what God wants is people to follow him. What God wants is people to grow in him. And sin has stopped that from happening. But now that they are saved, once I die for them, go into the world and make martyrs of everyone. Make students of everyone. Because now that they are saved, they can easily yalak. They can easily halak. They can follow. Are you seeing what I'm saying? They can follow. So I want followers. I don't want members. I don't want religiosity anymore. I want people who are ready to be discipled. I want followers. And that brings me to my first point. Because it wouldn't matter if their hearts have been changed, if they don't know the way of God. So what are the pastors supposed to do? Teach them the way. Now their hearts have been changed, but they need to know my way so that they can yalak. So they can halak, so they can follow me, so they can be disciples, so they can walk after my path, after what I want them to do. That's why they come to church. That's why they need to come to church. Not just for gathering and social pleasure. No, it is to learn my ways. That's why the job of a pastor is to instruct them in the ways of the Lord, so they can halak, so they can follow, so they can walk in the footprints and the footsteps of God. Are you learning something? That's what you do. So what does your pastor do? He walks in those same footprints. And as you walk behind him, that's why Paul can say, be followers of me as I follow Christ. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Are you getting it? Jesus came. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1. The Bible says, God who hath in sundry times and in diverse manners revealed himself to us in time past through the prophets and our fathers. He says, as in these last days revealed himself to us through who? His son. Talking about who? Jesus. He says, he's the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. Talking about Jesus. Meaning that Jesus reveals God. The invisible God was made visible in Jesus. Do you see what I'm saying? So if we want to know the ways of God, who do we look at? Christ. If we want to know the thoughts of God, who do we look at? Christ. If we want to know the teachings of God, who do we look at? Christ. So when Jesus came and he taught the apostles, he set the paths, the footprints. And when men of God like me look, we walk in those footprints and we look at you and say, walk in these footprints too. Halak. Are you following me? Halak. Yalak. Walk with us. Follow us as we follow Christ. God still wants you to follow him, but it's easier now because your heart is saved. There's no rebellion. You can walk in the footprints of God. And this brings me to my first point. A disciple must be saved. Are you getting it? A martyr must be saved. A disciple must be saved. You will be wasting your time if you try to get an unsaved person to halak and yalak. He would always fall. Are you learning this? He would always fall. Maybe that's why the people you try to disciple did not follow God. That's why your first curriculum in discipleship is understanding the gospel. Because if they don't know how they are saved and they don't believe it to be saved, you will struggle in discipleship. A man that is not saved will not easily. That's why the Bible says a new desire, so that they can walk, they can halak in my statutes. Are you getting it? That's what it means to follow. We've seen the pattern of discipleship. Listen. There are some principles that God used to try to disciple them. Those principles don't end. The fact that I didn't work with them because of sin does not mean they are not good principles. They are good principles, like repetition. So even now that your heart has been changed, for you to follow, there must be repetition. Because repetition is the key to mastery. You will hear me say some text until your brain, you wake up in the night. Yes, that's God's pattern. That's God's pattern. Please, are you following me? A person whose desires have not been changed cannot follow Christ. That's why I always teach people how to what the gospel is first, so that they will be saved. So when he says, go and teach all nations, He wasn't talking about a one-time thing. He was talking about a consistent indoctrination. Make followers of men. Let them halak and yalak now that they are saved. Every member of the local church must be a student. And not many of us know what it means to be students of the word. We don't know what it means to be disciples. We know what it means to be members of a church, but not disciples. Not disciples. And that's why that's what you have to learn. Are you following me, everybody? That's what you have to learn. Bible says, Paul tells Timothy that the things you've learned from me, commit to faithful men who are also able to teach others. That's what followership is in our day. That Christ has given the example. Now, let's get men to your luck. Let's get them to follow. To follow. So you must know what it means. Are you following me? You must adopt the attitude of a learner. You must become a student. I'm not just talking church members. I'm talking students. There's a way to follow God. There are things that must be done. There's a way that church must be done. Every believer must adopt that attitude. Where, you know, we treat the teachings of the word of God like a commitment that we have. Because the word is student. Meaning, everything you do as a student in the secular is acceptable in the church. Everything you have to do for your secular education, expect the same in the church. So some of you might be like, why are we taking notes? Why are we doing assignments? Because I told you at the beginning that there is general education and there's Christian education. Your church is Christian education. Are you getting what I'm saying? Your church is Christian education. It shouldn't be a far-fetched idea. So things like being present always, like us taking attendance, why do you not come to church? It's important. Being present always, not taking, studying, assignments, these things, there's nothing that says it's regard to general education. They are all learning aids. Are you seeing what I'm saying? They are learning aids. And they can be used in any form of education. As you are learning doctrine. Can you look at the Old Testament a bit? Let me teach you about taking notes. You're not doing half as much as Jesus, as God did when he was discipling Israelites. You don't come close. Listen, I told you, the patterns that God used are valid. Even though they rebelled, we see a discipleship pattern with God. How did God teach? He said, this is the law. Know it and teach your children's children. Do you know how they knew it? They memorized it. When Paul told Timothy, you know the Holy Scriptures, do you think he meant you know it? He knew it by heart. Jewish children at age 11 knew the whole Bible by heart. That's the same thing you see with the Quran as well. It was, do you get what I'm saying? Jewish children knew by heart. So, taking notes is important. Because in those days, there was no way they would have taught. You can't go and teach your children by omitting words. This is what the law of the Lord says. You must translate it to them that way. How do you want to do that when you are writing notes, you only write the Bible verses? Can I tell you how to take notes? Write everything. You think that you will keep it in your memory and when you see the Bible text, you remember everything. But do you actually remember it when you go to the notes? No. So chances are that you will misinterpret what you've been taught if you don't write it. So how do you take notes? Write everything. Let me tell you about myself. When I started learning, I would write everything including the jokes. I'm not joking. When I started to teach it, it helped me to not take anything out of context. When I went back to study it, I planned to bring my notes. I didn't just want to overdo. I planned to bring my, you know, compilation of notes since 2018. Everything written. That's the only, listen, to be a good teacher, you must be a good student. You can never be a good teacher without being a good student. I am, and I've always been, an extremely good and attentive student. That's who I am. And these are the things, these are the foundations of what made me who I am today. Some of the teachings that, you know, so I did in my earliest ministry are from notes I wrote 3 years before. I laid everything down like this. So I built the theology of this ministry based on everything I've learned. If I did not write it down, how will I do it? Are you getting what I'm saying? If God expected them to take detail in teaching their children and grandchildren everything he had commanded that they be taught, then God expects you to take detail in writing everything you are being taught in church, so that you can also teach others when the time comes, and so you can remember. And you see what I'm saying? That's how to write notes. I don't know where the idea of just writing the point, say, I'll remember, just write. He said, Bible text. Everything must be written. That's why I'm surprised when, you know, we're in church sometimes, I don't see people writing. I'm like, ha 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 ha. How? This is how note taking works. There was a repetition in their mind. They memorized it. You would always say, teach it to your children. Teach it. Teach it. And you see what I'm saying? Teach it. But two is simple things as being present. This is discipleship. If you are truly following, you will never not show up without accountability. Can I tell you something? It is a huge dishonor to a structure set if you show up unannounced. I'll tell you what it means. Your pastor would prepare for each meeting to show God honor and to show you honor. What if I come here and I'm just a comedian and I just jest around? I've wasted your time. Are you seeing what I'm saying? It is honor equally for you to show up for those meetings. And if you are not able to, you send a message and say, oh, it's only a person who does not honor the gathering of believers that will not send a message and say, oh, because you know you are supposed to be here. Do you see what I'm saying? So if you see that this is important, I honor this. When you don't want to go to class and you don't tell your professor, what happens? I don't know what school you're okay, management. It's understandable. Management. People are just managing. Management. Well, for us, it was a huge deal because if you didn't have 75% attendance or so, you can't write the exam. You failed the whole semester. So unless you took proper permission for not coming to class, it's regarded as an absence. And it counts. Actually, I think in one other department, in one other program I was doing, it was 5% of the entire mark. It was 5% of the entire mark. So, and that's in a structure where there's no even, it's just teaching, you are paying the money. Do you get what I'm saying? But in this situation, this is God, this is the gathering of believers. There has to be some honor for the sacredness of the gathering. That's who a disciple is. You know, listen, from the way you act to the things of God, we know your level of growth. There are some things that some people that are just laughed at, still a baby. There's nothing. And that's just the truth. And that's why I teach it. That's why I teach it. Last year, there were some things I was not saying, right? And this year, there are some things I'm saying. Yeah. And that's how it will continue to go. You need to understand. Assignments. I remember when I started discipling, you know, the guys who are deacons now in our church. Only I gave them, as I summarized the whole of Hebrews. Now, it's not possible for you to ask them. One time I gave them summarize the whole of Galatians. It's not possible for you to ask them what is in Hebrews or Galatians and they don't know. It might seem like a lot, like punishment in the immediate. Just do it. Just do it. I told the whole church, Catalyst Church, to learn the whole of Ephesians 1 by heart. To memorize it. That was the assignment one time. I'll tell you why. When you go out and evangelize and you want to remember Ephesians 1, 3, blessed be God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, what will you be doing? Looking for where it is in the Bible. When you start teaching, you see many times I quote scriptures without looking. Yes. That's because I've done a due diligence. So assignments are not a joke. They are to aid you. So you see people in the Catalyst Church do some things and you think it's magic. No. There's been some rigorous training to get in there. There was an assignment I gave them to choose five worldviews and defend their faith against it. In that assignment, everybody was writing PDF. One girl, one of the deacons, she made video. You know, I say yes. I like it. Go above and beyond. Do you know what I mean? She made a video. I didn't ask them to make video. She made a video. She said, my name is so, and this is how I'm going to defend a Muslim. I've given assignment to someone. Someone did PowerPoint. I said, yes. The I2 know people in church are the ones that are getting it right. In church, when someone is overdoing, it's not that person that is wrong, it's that person that is right. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's that person that is right. So, the way people dealt with the assignments, the way people did, I said, yes, good. The assignments, if you do it, you see the results later. You might not see it now, but you will see it. You will see it. I can't begin to tell you some of the oldest assignments that I gave people to do. Please, are you following me?
Yes, sir.
This is important. Hallelujah. Are you learning something? A disciple. There's a lot. And these are the things I am teaching you so that you follow God the right way. You know, in the Old Testament, God had to teach them sacredness, understanding of sacredness of the temple. Little things as little as that. Even pressing phone in church. I've never spoken about it before. But it's a simple lack of understanding of the sacredness of where you are. If it was in the Old Testament, lightning would kill somebody. In the Old Testament, not here. Do you get what I'm saying? I'm just saying. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because God had to teach them the sacredness of the place. Well, I'm the one teaching you the sacredness of this place now. Wherever we gather, you must treat it with that utmost. You can never see me in a spiritual meeting pressing my phone. For what? Are you listening to me? You can never. What am I doing on my phone? Because I honor God. I honor my man of God. And I value the times. Even when we're online, I would dress up. I remember COVID. Sunday, we would dress up. We'd play it on the TV. So that before me and before God, I value this time, even though it's in my house, as a time with God. The only way to show that value is to dress up, sit upright, be in a position that shows who I'm talking to is the maker of the universe. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's the maker of the universe. That's the value. That's the value. There must also be a place of worship. The Bible talks about Jesus teaching in the synagogue. It says Peter disputed and instructed in their synagogue for 3 years. Meaning that when people went to the synagogue, they knew they were going to learn. Don't sit down in your house when you should be in church. Disciples don't do that. Only baby Christians do that. If there is a church in your neighborhood, go there. I'm telling you the ways of God. I'm telling you how to follow God. A disciple is someone who has learned this. That's the attitude of a learner. That as I leave my house, you don't go to school without checking if you have a pen and all these things, unless you are still a baby. It was when you were in primary school you did that. Are you seeing what I'm saying? As you grew older, you started having a pen. So when you are going to church, it's not jamboree. You will not forget your makeup, but you forget your Bible. Never. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Never. So there must be some sense of seriousness that I'm going to a place of learning as well. Less about the appearance and the look. You can do that. Not even less. Do whatever you want. But at least don't do it at the expense of the things you need to grow. Please, are you learning something? Are you following me? This is important. They had a custom of having a place of learning. Please, your house is not the place of learning. For those of you watching me online, your house is not the place of learning. The church is. There is no biblical precedence for a disciple learning from their house. No biblical precedence. Because as much as you have general learning, your general life, you have spiritual education that matters in eternity. Are you following me? Your house is not the place of learning. And that's important. Look at Mary and Martha. Martha was about cooking. Some of you will come here, do everything, help to set up, but the things that matter, that's when you'll be dozing. Sleep early the day before. I'm teaching you what it means to be a disciple. This simple principle, if you apply it in your class, you'll be a better student. If you sleep late on Sunday, you'll be dozing in class on Monday. If you sleep late on Saturday, you'll be dozing in church on Sunday. It's simple. It's pretty simple. Prioritize the things that need to be prioritized. Mary sat at the feet and she was learning. Some of you don't know how to follow. That's what I'm saying. You don't know how to be disciples. I'm not teaching you to be members. I'm teaching you to be disciples. Disciples are learners. They are growing. Halak and Yalak means to grow. Are you growing? Are you following me? A student will prepare himself to receive from the word. A notepad, a pen, a Bible. Ready to listen. All those things I've said now, Yalak, Alak, Gado, you would have written it down. You go back, you study it. That's what it means to follow God. Are you learning something? That's what it means to what? To follow God. When they were looking for Jesus, where did they find him? In the temple, asking questions. Please, are you learning something, guys? This is who a disciple is. Following. And when God sets a man before you, follow. I'm going to teach that on Sunday. Follow. Some of you are not even following the person in the places that they follow, not to talk of even in real life. Don't worry, I don't need to explain. You see, learning is active and present. Follow. If God sets someone before you, and that's the problem as well. So it's not one that is set before you, it's 10. Find one and choose and stay and follow. That is the testimony of my life. I'm telling you, I am and I would always be a good student. Listen, I'm an embodiment, and that's what ministry is. Paul could say, I'm sending you Timothy to complete it. Are you seeing what I'm saying? He can say, I'm sending you Timothy to teach you. Why? Because Timothy had become an embodiment of Paul's teaching. That's how to follow. You know, it's not ideal for you to be in the same ministry with your pastor, with your spiritual father, with your mentor, and not believe the same things doctrinally and not bring it up. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because a disciple must be an embodiment. That's why I said I will commit to every man who will be able to. A disciple must be an embodiment of the teachings of the discipler. Again, coined word discipler. You see what I'm saying? An embodiment. So Paul can say, I will send you Timothy, because he's sure that Timothy, having Timothy will be like having him. Is that your reality? That's what you must become. So, if you're in this ministry, for example, you've not accustomed yourself with all our teachings. For example, on the podcast, you are not a disciple. Are you getting what I'm saying? You're not a disciple. A lady came to me one day. You know, she's one of the leaders in the community. You know, she had not been in our ministry before. She just came. After 3 months, she called me and said, ah, sir, that girl was, at that point, she was a better disciple to me than many disciples that have been following me for years. What did she do? She listened to all the sermons on the podcast. So as I was talking to her, it was as if I was talking to someone who I've been teaching for a long time, even though she had just started coming for our meetings. She was a better disciple, because she knew all we believed. You see, there are some people that when you hear them say the same thing as me, it's because we are of the same. Are you getting what I'm saying? They sound like me. Even me at some point, even more recently, I sound like my father because that's where I came from. Are you getting what I'm saying? And even though I sound like myself more now, right? But then the people that I'm discipling sound like me as well. That's what it means to follow, to embody the teachings. What do we believe about salvation? What do we believe about communion? What do we believe about baptism? What do we believe about all these things? You have to know. That's who a disciple is. Timothy will not go and teach what Paul did not teach. When they saw someone that sounded different, if you remember him, Apollos, they say, how is a man saved? Apollos did not know anything apart from the Holy, apart from the baptism of John. The Bible says Aquila and Priscilla called him and expounded the word to him deeply. So even though Apollos was an eloquent man, in doctrine, he could have been regarded as a baby Christian. When the Bible introduced Apollos, the Bible introduced him as an eloquent man. You see what I'm saying? Eloquent. But he didn't know about salvation. All he knew was the baptism of John. Are you seeing? So, the disciples of Jesus were embodiments of the teachings of Jesus. You must be an embodiment of the teaching. That's why that yalak means to grow. You must grow spiritually if you're going to be a disciple. You must grow. You must become the things that have been handed onto you in the ministry. And that's the life you live. A disciple makes the work of his discipler easier. So, your job, all I ask of you, if you're going to be a disciple, and I'm going to teach you how to choose a spiritual father next week. All through the teaching, I've not assumed I'm your spiritual father. Amen? I've not assumed. I'm going to teach you what it is so you know what it is. But if you follow me, well, there are some expectations because my job is to follow Christ and pull you as I'm going. I cannot be walking left, right, and you are doing leg work. No. You need to do left, right with me as I follow Christ. If this is the way I'm following Christ, one, two. One, two. And you have confirmed that that's the way the Bible says it. Please, just follow me. I'll be doing. Don't do. The problem is that some of you are already like this. I like analogy, so you remember that when you are remembering this. Are you following me? That's important. Follow. Follow. Have you learned something?
Yes,
sir. All right, stand up on your feet. We're going to pray that same prayer that, Lord, I commit to following the man you've set before me, to following the people you've set before me, a pastor or teacher. I commit, I give myself wholly to their teaching, because that's the one way that I will halak, that's the one way you will grow, to grow in the word. I would give myself wholly to the teachings, to the structure set. I commit today to follow you, to be a disciple, not just a member, to be present for the meetings, the structures, to follow all the things that you've given in the way that I should walk with you, Lord. The discipline, the sacredness, the commitment, Lord. The commitment, the sacredness, the discipline. The consecration, the focus, the drive. I grow. I become a proper disciple. I grow. I become a proper disciple. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah.